12 share, so I wanted to try to get a sugya that you can more or less digest in one share, as well as a sugya that's very, very methodological. That's the second benefit of today's share. And most of all, there's this huge, delicious, fantastic, characteristic Ramban. Pesachim faces the same challenge of Bava Kamma. There's no Ramban on Pesachim. In Pesachim, however, you have one of the Ramban's famous Talmidim, Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David of Montpellier. And they didn't have the Rabbeinu David until about 100 years ago. It's very exciting to learn Pesachim because most of the Achronim are operating without a Ramban, without Rabbeinu David. And Rabbeinu David is Ramban's Torah, but he's a much clearer writer. He writes very clear and very distinct and very long. So it's a sefer that put out about 70, 80 years, I think, probably even more recently. I think when I was in Shana Aleph in Yeshiva about 50 years ago, the sefer came out. So we'll see a little bit of Rabbeinu David today. Chiddush Rabbeinu David on Pesachim. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. The Mishnah talks about early Arba Asar, Bodkin es haChametz Lior HaNer. Why you Bodik Chametz? Because Chametz has three surim, unlike any other issur in the Torah. Some things in the Torah are asur b'achila. Some things in the Torah are not just asur b'achila, but they're asur b'achila and asur b'hana. For example, what are some items that are asur b'hana? Basa b'chalav, Shar Niskal, Avodah Zarah. Well, it's probably the Rabbanon, even the Isra Achila. Which things are asur b'hana minatara? Kilayim is asur b'hana minatara. So the many things that are asur b'hana. There's nothing in the Torah that has the third Isser. The third Isser is the Isser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. The Isser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh is written in two psukim in the end of Bo. They're very different in their language. Lo Yirah Lecha Chametz V'lo Yirah Lecha Sa'ar B'chol Kvulecha. That's one pasuk. The other pasuk is Shivas Yamim Sa'ar Lo Yimatzeh B'vatechem. So we call the Isser of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. Are they two Isser? Are they one Isser? That's not our conversation right now. So because there's an Isser on Pesach, not just to eat Chametz, but to get Hanaf from Chametz, to actually own chametz or to be associated with chametz. So that's why the first Mishnah says, early Arba Asar, bogen is the chametz. You have to get rid of it. Unlike other Isurim, you can keep it in your closet. It's not smart to keep it in your closet, but you're allowed to keep it in your closet. Okay? The Mishnah makes no mention of bittel as a solution to Bayur Abayimase. The way you solve Bayur Abayimase is physical destruction. However, the Gemara, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, sequentially, there is a Mishnah later that alludes to bittel. We'll see the Mishnah later. But the Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Beis all of a sudden raises Bittel as an alternate solution for Bayur Abayimase. What's the context of the Gemara? The Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Beis, as I said in my WhatsApp voice note yesterday, let's say you come to town and you don't know whether the house that you're staying in already went through the process of Bedikas Chametz. So you need Edim. If the Edim tell you the house was checked, you're Pater. If the Edim don't tell you the house was checked, you don't have any information, you're Chayev. So the Gemara says, you can even take testimony from women and children. If a child will come over and say, this house was checked, you're potter from Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara debates that, and the Gemara reaches a standstill. Why should Nashim Mektanim be kasher for Eidos when they're normally not kasher for Eidos? So the Gemara says as follows. The whole mitzvah to perform Bedikas Chametz is only midrabanan. Minatara, you can solve Bayur Abayimatzeh through some verbal declaration. And since Bedikas Chametz is only a tack on the Rabbanon, because Minatara, you could just wake up, Erev Pesach, don't clean your house, don't do one stitch of cleaning. No Bedika, no spring cleaning, no Bedikas Chametz, just get up and say, Kol Chamir V'chamir Dika B'shusi, that would be enough. Midereisa B'tel B'yamasagilah. And Bedikas Chametz is the Rabbanon, him the Rabbanon B'drabbanon. The whole mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz is Elamid Rabbanan, so therefore the Rabbanan were so mech or nashim mektanim to provide testimony that would exonerate you from Bedikas Chametz. This is the first mention of Bittul Chametz. Again, there's a Mishnah later, but this is the first time that the first parak of Mesechus Pesachim, which talks about the Isser of Bali Rabbi Yamatzeh, the first time that it recognizes Bittul Chametz as an adequate solution for Bali Rabbi Yamatzeh. What the Gemara doesn't tell us is, how does Bittul work? We know how Bir Chametz works. There's no chametz. You burn the chametz. How does bittul chametz work to solve bal yirah bal yimatzeh? So today we'll see shitas atosvos, shitas Rashi, and shitas haRamban, which is right in the middle. Quite frankly, is brilliant. I mean, this is one of the most brilliant Rambans in all Shas. It's a long Ramban. If you want to take a nice Pesach project when you're home, read through the Ramban line by line. It's brilliant logically. It's panoramic. He takes all of Shas in. It's classic Ramban intellectual honesty. We says something, and then he updates it, and then he rejects it. It's really the Ramban. If you want to appreciate what the Ramban was, read this Ramban. It's just staggeringly beautiful, this Ramban in Pesachim. Okay? Okay. Well, I mentioned before it's so methodological, because very often when we encounter a new halacha, and we're trying to explain how the halacha works, Rishonim will differ along the following fault line. Some Rishonim will say, you know what, this isn't a new halacha. It looks like a new halacha, it sounds like a new halacha, but it's really an application of an old halacha. Right? It's a conservation of halachic principles. If every time you come to new halacha, it's a new concept, then the halachic system becomes one big cinnamon bun. Here, there, there. You want halacha to be integrated, contoured, shaped, consistent. So instead of saying, oh, another halacha, that's the entire premise of Bris Milah. If every single halacha were its own paradigm, its own category, there'd be no categories, because every category would be a category of one. No such thing as a category of one. You're not a category, Avi, you're a person. I say, oh, all the Lubavitcher people, and, you know, Shimon Haaretz, yeah, okay, that's you, it's Pearl, whatever. It's the people that, you know, that's a category. This is a category of one. That category means you're going to have these behavioral, these whatever. So to have a category, you want to condense multiple examples and multiple situations under one. So the whole purpose of halacha is to see multiplicity as unity, to see multiple ideas and try to unify them under categories. That's called categorical thought. When you take a concept and you try to induce the category it belongs to, and you stitch together shots rather than just leaving it halacha, 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 halacha. So one response is, I don't know what Pitul Chametz is, let's tag it to an already existing halacha. Another response is, and of course these are methodological responses, this is a new halacha. If it's a new halacha, you have to explain how it works. Tosfos is going to take the first approach. Rashi and the Rambam are going to take the second approach. The Ramban is going to have a problem because if it's new, it can't be too new, because if it's so new, how does it work? The advantage of borrowing an old concept is you know how it works. The disadvantage of a new concept is, well, does it actually work? How do you get there? The Ramban is going to carve out a space right in the middle, and we'll try to see how the Ramban space makes sense. It's a little bit closer to Rashi and the Rambam, but it's still a carve-out space. It's very different from Rashi and the Rambam. Okay? That's our roadmap for today. Tosfos, right, borrows something old. Bitul chametz is really, one word?
Hefker.
You're disavowing ownership. It's basically being mafkir of the chametz. What word about this isser of bal yirah by yamatze becomes neutralized by the process of bitul? Bitul has to neutralize one of the parameters of the isser. The Torah describes the isser. I'm not going to give you a hint. I'll read the pasuk. La yirah lecha chametz v'la yirah lecha sab b'chol gvulecha. What word changes after bitul according to Tosfos?
Lecha.
It's no longer lecha. The isser is not lo yirah chametz. The isser is lo yirah lecha chametz. After I've been mafkir, it's no longer my ownership. I don't own the chametz. Not over by Rabbi Yamatzi. Tosfos has no gemara that proves this. There's no gemara Tosfos gets this from. There's no raya. There's no hint. There's no remez. Tosfos is just, as we would say, stuck because there's no mechanism that he knows of to explain bittul. Bittul sounds like hocus pocus. You have chametz. You're not burning it. You're not over by Rabbi Yamatzi. So Tosfos borrows, in his mind, the concept that's most compelling and most effective to solve by Rabbi Yamatzi. And he streams it through Bitul Chametz. It's very reminiscent of a Rashi, if you're learning Daf Yomi, in Bava Metzia, the second parak. Can anyone tell me what I'm referring to? Where the Gemara in the second parak introduces a new halachic mechanism that has halachic impact without explaining more or less how it works. And Rashi says, oh, that's not new. That's just a derivative or an application of second parak Bava Metzia, Daf Yomi, anyone? If I lose an item and you find it before Yeyush, you have to give it back to me. After Yeyush, you can keep it. How does Yeyush change the situation? There's a lot of answers to that question. The Ramban himself delves into Yeyush a little bit here. But Rashi's solution in the beginning of Eilat Metzias, at least the simple read of Rashi, is that Yeyush is a form of Hefker. So when I lose my item, and if I've been Miyayish before you pick it up, then basically I've given up ownership. It's no longer mine. It's Hefker. You can be Koner from Hefker. If I haven't been Miyayish, it's still mine. When you pick it up, you become a Shomer. Then you have to give it back to me. Even if I'm Miyayish afterwards, you've become my Shomer before I've been Mafker. You have to give it back to me. Sura Asiliade or Ater Asiliade, based on the Gemara's distinction. Okay, so very, very often in Shas, when you come to a new concept, some Rishonim will say, you know, it's just an old concept because they're trying to conserve the system. And so the system means not every halacha is a new paradigm. But let's try to cluster halachas under one paradigm, and you solve two problems. You create a more integrated logical system. Number one, it's not just loose ideas. Number two is you solve the problem locally. You solve the problem that bittul is hefker. And that's why we mention hefker as part of our bittul nusach. Remember, there is no bittul nusach in Shas. There is a partial bitul nusach in the Yishalmi, but our nusach does not come from a Gemara, it comes from a Gaonim that started to cobble together a nusach based on the Rishonim, which we'll see today. But we do mention, livtel v'leve hefker gafredara. So we do throw in the word hefker just to account for Tosfos' position. Why not? Now, the Ramban asks, if I remember correctly, about 8 questions on Tosfos. This is, again, such a fascinating Ramban. I wanted to give you one example of each category of questions. Remember, I've told you it's very important with nafkaminos, not to have 7 nafkaminos, but to have 3 different types of nafkaminos and to cluster them. This is this type of nafkamina, this is this type of nafkamina, this is this type, rather than say, oh, there's 7 nafkaminos. Right? This is the difference between low-level lambdas and real lambdas. We didn't just throw around ideas. Oh, these are 3 applications of how you do it. These are 3 applications of who does it. You know, when you remember this year we had, I think, on Mishloach Manos, so we have this year, right? 3 applications of what the content is, 3 applications of the Zmana Mitzvah. So the same thing with questions. When a Rishon is going to ask 7, 8 questions, in your mind, try to say, well, what types of questions is he asking? Rather than just saying this, and that, because then you could start to see logic based on the similarity between questions. Okay, the Ramban asks 3 types of questions. One question is a category of one. It's only one question. But the other 2 are categorical questions. Category number 1, and this is always the question whenever a Rishon takes a new halacha and attributes it to an old halacha. Well, bitul chametz, according to Tosfos, is really just hefker. What would be your retort to that position if you were standing in front of the Ramban? And that should be your retort anytime someone says a strategy like that. If bitul is hefker, why call it bitul? Just say hefker. That's always true. You could fit in anything into those slots. If yeish is hefker, why call it yeish? If me'ilah is so-and-so, why call it me'ilah? It's an inner tension. On the one hand, you want to conserve the system. So you want to take a new halacha and collapse it to an old halacha. On the other hand, it sounds like it's something new because the Gemara gives a new nomenclature. So it's right at that front line, right at that battle line that the machlokas in line. On the one hand, it's easy logically to condense. On the other hand, the language sounds like we're not really condensing. Did we have any examples like that in Bava Kamma? It's hard for me to remember. Where he said if something is really just an application of something else. A little bit by Eish, Ishim, Ishim, Mimona. We wanted to know, is it Mamon, Mamish, according to what we saw? Or the word Mamon means it's a new concept. That's why the Torah has to write Eish. If Eish were just Mamon, why does the Torah have to write Eish if you really can own Eish? A little bit of that by Bor. So is it just based on the old parameters, the old paradigm, or something new? Let's just read the Ramban together. Okay, I gave you the sheet of the Ramban. I didn't remember what piece I've given you or not, but if you take a look at the sheet of the Ramban, everyone have a sheet? I just want to read a little bit of the Ramban today. Piece plus 1, 2. Hanan. Okay, he's going to quote Rabbeinu Tam. Lefikach, okay, Benji. Lefikach pirshu Rabbeinu Tam. Dema sha'amru bevitul be'am asagi. Line number 1, top Ramban. Mishim debitul hainu hefka. V'nafka lehetera mishim shenemur lecha shelcha yataroa. Avlataro shelachem mishal gavoah. This is the approach of the Balei Tosfos. V'kasha, here's his first kasha. Im kein, lama hiskiru kama pamim b'chol mesech dezu, lashon bitul. Why does the Gemara use the lashon of bitul? Just say hefker. Line number 4. Mi sani hefker, what does the word sani mean? What? Hey, what's the most famous application of the word sani? Not sunny, but sani as a reflection of hatred. What did Hillel tell the ger? What you don't want to do to you, don't do to your friend. After Rechakamochi reinterpreted. So it's a derivation of sone, but sin and samach in Aramaic switch. Right? When you see in the Medrash Rev Simon with a samach, not a French name, Simon, it's a knockoff of Shimon, like Simi, Shimon, right? They had nicknames. So Shimon became Simi, Shimon became Simon. Yudah became, you saw all these nicknames. So if you know someone whose name is Simon, probably who was a Shimon in the family, or Simi Barashi, his name was Shimon. So, mi sani hefker, shashanu chachamim b'chol makom. V'lo mishtame tana l'meimu b'chamit hefker, v'lo l'meimu bita b'shum hefker b'shum makom b'olam. Now here's where you see the brilliance of the Ramban. This is just breathtakingly brilliant. Like, you know Shas, is like he's just looking at the whole system. Ban says, and I'll prove to you that bitul is an hefker, because there are 2 other cases in Shas which Shas actually uses the term bitul. It's not really as new as you think. Because there are 2 other areas in Shas where bitul does have an impact, And there's clearly not hefker. So evidently there must be some other mechanism that Bittel refers to. Anyone want to take a quick guess? Or if you saw the Ramban, what are two other areas in Shas? Bittel Avodah Zarah. So someone has an Avodah Zarah. Actually, not an Avodah Zarah that you would own, Chas V'Shalom, because Avodah Zarah Shei Yisrael Ein Lo Bittel Olamis. But let's say a guy has Avodah Zarah, and you have to go over and slap the Avodah Zarah in the face or break off the ear or something. That would be a way to, what's what I'm looking for, to hollow it out from its assumed authority, to disgrace it, to divest it if it's Avodah Zarah status, and then actually be mutter. So if you want to use a Avodah Zarah for a guy, for whatever purpose, you want to use the metal, if you went over and slapped it in the face and took off the nose or something, that would then be mutter. That's not hefker. In fact, it can't be hefker because it's not the owner that's doing it. It's another Jew that's being mevatel. It's machlokas whether a guy can be mevatel the Avodah Zarah, and you can't be mevatel your Avodah Zarah because once a Jew owns it, bittel doesn't work. So bittel there, bittel Avodah Zarah, the more he uses the word bittel, can't be hefker. And what else? Erev. What's the halach of Erev? You may have to know it one day. If you move into a chatzer or mavoi, which you share with other people, so min hatara to rishus hayachid Alex in your apartment building, right? But you have to make an erev chatzeros in order to carry in the hallway. So let's say a Jewish member of that joint area of the chatzer, in most cases it's an apartment house stairwell, let's say he didn't make an erev chatzeros, what do you do on Shabbos? That person is mevatel his rishus. He's saying, I don't live here anymore. I'm no longer interested in living here. So I'm not a problem to this. I'm not going to be a problem this Erev Chatzeros. Now again, Bittel Rishus doesn't mean being mafkir of a house. You can't say, oh, the guy's mafkir Rishus, let's move into Alex's house. You can't do that. He's just mevatel Rishus. So you just see the brilliance of the Ramban. He's saying, where else in Shas does the word Bittel come up? I don't know. I don't know Shas. Ramban knew Shas. And in those two instances, Bittel can't be hefker. Can't be hefker, so evidently, in Pesachim as well, Bittel can't be hefker. It's just brilliant. I can't say anything else. You're seeing what we missed in Bava Kava. Imagine if every single sugi we had the Ramban just basically. I told you. Did I tell you I was in Teaneck visiting someone just on the way to so and so and such and such, and that person's a very wealthy person. I wasn't raising. I was just being a friend of mine, and there was a rav there from Chevron. And he was originally where was he? Something. He was a rabbi. He was a magid shir in Mir, and I moved over to Chevron. So he was there raising money. So I was like schmoozing with him a little bit. So I asked him what his name was. His name was, I forget, but his name was Rabbi Yathan. You'd pay. Hey, no, it's, oh, are you the nephew of the famous Rabbi Yaakov Yathan? Rabbi Yaakov Yathan wrote the Ritva on Nedarim. He wrote the footnotes. And why is that so famous? Because if you open up the Ritva on Nedarim, go upstairs to the Beis Medrash, we like to call it in the Yeshiva world, it's Rabbi Yathan's Chidushim on Nedarim with the Ritva's Makaris. Ritva's footnotes. Why? Because you have two lines of the Ritva and 40 lines on each page of his Chidushim. That's why the Ritva on Nedarim is so heavy. Nedarim is not such a big Masechta, but go upstairs, you'll see the Mosad Rav Kook Ritva. Just open it up, you'll see a line or two. He said, are you the famous? He says, yes, that was my great uncle, whatever. So he was like defending his great uncle. He says, no, the reason my uncle wrote so many Ha'aros on the Ritva on Nedarim, because he felt like everything started with the Ramban. And all the Talmidei of the Ramban were working off. Yeah, you have to tell me. I didn't say that. They were all working off of the Ramban. And his uncle believed that if the Rashba quotes the 10 answers of the Ramban, but quotes them in a slightly different order, then you have to understand why he quoted them in a different order, because everything starts with the Ramban. And I said, so I wanted to tell him my piece, and he said he was giving me a share in Bava Basra, I'd give him a little faher or something, but it wasn't the time, wasn't the place. So I said, good kazakh or whatever. So Ramban is everything. Every time you have a Ramban, remember we saw the Ramban, where did we see the Ramban this year? I'm trying to remember. We saw the Ramban a little bit by Adam Amazek. We saw the Ramban everything. Last year I taught brachos, so we're not so much Ramban or brachos, but so here we Baruch Hashem have Ramban. So we also have the delight today to see the Ramban's Talmud, because, you know, a good Talmud doesn't agree with the Rebbe. So one of the Ramban's Talmudim was the Rashba, Ben Shlomo Ben Aderes. We've had the Rashba a lot this year. But there is a Talmud of the Ramban, Talmud, the Rashba, who lived in the 14th century of Spain, called Rabbeinu Moshe Halava. Rabbeinu Maram Chalava. We don't really have his chidushim on Matzah Shas, but we do have his chidushim on Pesachim. This is the Maram Chalava on Pesachim. This is my version. There's probably more sophisticated versions of that with footnotes and nice. This is, but you can see it's really encyclopedic. It's long and it's foundational, really foundational. And a lot of it is him discussing the Ramban, but sometimes disagreeing with the Ramban. Unlike the Ramban's Rabbeinu David, who basically anything the Rebbe said was right, and just rewrote it in simpler terms. So the Maram Chalava actually goes through the Ramban's seven questions He tries to give answers. Okay? Now, he says, answer to the first question, and I wanted to give you a little bit of a sense of the Maram Chalava, so please, on the back of your sheet I handed out today, Maram Chalava says, V'yamai, D'yamakshu, Amai, Nasiv Le, B'lashin Bitter, V'lo B'lashin Hefker, the first concept of the Ramban, why does the Gemara use the Lashin of Bitter, not Hefker? Mistavar, the Loshayach Hefker, El Badav, V'sheish, Achra, Zochim, Kabel. Okay, this is really hefker. The problem is, Ari, no one can be zocher because everyone is usher to have that chametz. So this is a hefker without a recipient. To denote that it's a hefker without. When Azariah is mafkir his beautiful beige colored camel, whatever, chormat, sweater. So Adir is circling like a buzzard, and Adir is going to be zocher from hefker. But that's a real hefker. But when Azariah is mafkir is chametz, no one can take the chametz, no one wants the chametz, so it's a hefker without a kona. How does the Gemara use a hefker without a kona? Lashon bittul. Again, this is all nomenclature and syntax, so these aren't really logical questions. Gemara uses different language. You can talk like that. Where's Yossi Sherman? He's not here today, right? He ran away, right? The Gemara gave an answer. Okay. Second question of the Ramban. Second question in the Ban is, I'll switch the order. I'll say the third question, then we'll get to the second question. Second category of question in the Ban is that the way Bittul operates is different from the way Hefker operates. If Bittul is Hefker, Tosfos, then Bittul should have to be performed in the same manner that Hefker is performed. Okay? Now here, the Ramban basically raises three issues. I'll just discuss one of them. Maybe two of them. Okay, number one, which is really a fascinating one, not so much this year, you can't perform Hefker in Shabbos. Hefker is a form of Maso Matan. Gemara says in Beitza that you're not allowed to perform Maso Matan type interactions on Shabbos. So if Bittur were Hefker, we could not be Mevatel Chametz on Shabbos. Yet we are Mevatel Chametz on Shabbos, Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. We can't do Bior because it's Shabbos, so we do Bittur. If Bittur is Hefker, how can we do it on Shabbos? That's one of the questions. Another question that Bittul seems to veer from the way that Hefker is performed is whether you need verbalization. Here we'll just talk a little bit about it. If you have a Gemara, please open up a Gemara to the only Mishnah that actually says the word Bittul. So if you go home for Yom Tov and you have an uncle who's a big Talmid Chacham or a Zaidi who's a big Talmid Chacham and you want to test him and see if he really knows, ask him, where does Bittul appear in the Mishnah? So he may not know about the Gemara Daf Dalet, but that's a Gemara, not a Mishnah. It's not even a Braisa. This is the only Mishnah that says the word Bittul. It's a Memtes Amid Aleph. And the Gemara talks about someone who's very busy on Erev Pesach, so he can't perform Bedikas Chametz. Hayaholech, the Mishnah says, Arbas Hayaholech, second Mishnah on Memtes. Hayaholech Lishchot Es Pischo, V'lamol Es Bino, V'lechol Sudas Erison, Beveis Chamav. Wow, what a busy Erev Pesach. He has to perform Shechitas Karban Pesach, he has a Bris Milah, and he has a vart, he has to go to a simchas erison as a wedding. I think the Mishnah meant either of the three. Can you imagine having all of the three? Right? What an amazing Erev Pesach. You're about to get married to Hashem, so first you get married. And you're about to have a bris with Hashem, first you have a real bris. And then you go to have a Karban Pesach, right? I once asked the following question. Here's a good question, trivia question. If you could choose the day of your bris milah, A means you could choose, you can't choose, it's day 8, B, you're an 8-year baby. But let's say, in theory, you could choose the day of your bris milah. Let's say you're Avram Avinu, right? You could choose the day of your bris milah, right? Hashem told Avram bris milah, was 86 years old. He could choose any day he wants. Which day would you choose? No? What would you say? Okay, give me the obvious ones.
Today?
Okay, that's an obvious one. It's a very famous tshuva. I forget who the tshuva was. What? Rabbaz, yeah. There's tshuva of Rabbaz. Very good. Rabbaz ibn David ben Zimri, who was an Egyptian Rav, and he was the Rebbe of the Arizal. The Arizal spent most of his time in Egypt before he came to Tzvat. He would sit by the Nile and Kabbalize, and he came to Tzvat. So Rabbaz, the Rebbe of the Arizal, was asked the following kasha. It's a real kasha, that there was a Yid who was imprisoned, and somehow the local authorities gave that Jew the ability to take one day off. So they asked the Kasha the Abbas, what day should it be? Yom Kippur or Pesach, what day should he come off? So he actually do mitzvahs. Like he was in jail, he couldn't do any mitzvahs. So he asked the Abbas, and the Abbas had a very, very, very important lesson in Musar today. Take advantage of opportunities, don't procrastinate. You may have heard that a little bit. Take today and do mitzvahs today. So if you have a choice, do it today. Also, Zizim Makdim and Mitzvahs.
So Kares.
Right, Kares. But let's say, like, we even the playing field. There's no Kares, there's no Zizim Makdim. What day, if you can make that day today, what day would you choose? Come on. I don't know, the two obvious ones. I would choose Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam, Pesach, Erev Pesach. Those would be my days to choose, right? Right. Those would be the July 4th. No. Those would be the days that I would choose to have a Bris Milah. So this guy is really fortunate. Erev Pesach is going to a Bris Milah. Like, I can't imagine Bris Milah on Pesach. Bris Karban Pesach is a busy day. And on his way to his wedding, Karban Pesach, Bris Milah, trifecta, he said, "Ah, oh, I left a donut on my table back home. If I go home, I won't have time to get back to the Karban Pesach, to get back to the Bris Milah, to get back to the Seudas Erusin." So the Mishnah says, "Ahalich lishchad es pischa v'lamos beno v'lechol sudas erisim b'beis chamav v'nisgar sheyesh l'chamais b'toch beiso em yachol lachzor levayr v'lachzor mitzvah." So you have enough time to get back. Of course, go back. Im lav mevatlo belibo v'daya. Just do a bittel. Namely, your patra from the takanas chachamim min atara hillel. Everyone could do a bittel. Chachamim tacked on bedika as an extra chiyav because maybe the bittel won't be successful. In this case, you can just get by with the deraisa because you're busy with mitzvahs. Now, what's fascinating about this Mishnah is the extra word, belibo. Mevatlo belibo v'dayo. Which means everyone has to look at me for a moment. You know how I perform bittel? Everyone look at me. I just have to think it. He says, wait a second, Ramban says. That doesn't really look like hefker. Hefker is a transaction. Every transaction we paskin. What are we paskin? Ram shebelevein v'varim. Sold you a car. I meant without a steering wheel. Yeah, but you know, cars have steering wheels. If you have it tonight, you have to make it. Anything you don't, right? They used to have like really, really edgy gush sweatshirts. So they always try to find like some shtuchy. Now I saw the series and we kept it more calm and more normal. But I was always trying to find like some, you know, kunz to say something cute and sharp and whatever. I'll just tell you, when they first had sweatshirts in the mid-90s, Rav Aaron couldn't wrap his head around it. Like he said, "What in Velazhen that sweatshirt? Long for in Velazhen that sweatshirt." Like he was virulently opposed to it. Like, you should have sweatshirts, you should have swag, whatever it took, and it took. So we said, "Let it go." But I'm happy to see that they're becoming more tame and just normal. And the show Harris Yon or a nice setting or something. But like I always try to find like a cute line to stuck people. So they came to me one year, we were learning Kiddushin, and they wanted, like, Rebbe, give us a good line for the sweatshirt. That's Pashit. You know, this is Gush. Devarim Shibalei Ve'enim Devarim. You know, we're all briskers. Devarim Shibalei Ve'enim Devarim. So in some sweatshirt, like 10 years ago, it was Devarim Shibalei Ve'enim Devarim. You know, we're not spiritual or whatever. Anyway, so if Bittul is Hefgar, how could the Mishnah allow you to be a Vatel Beliva? So the answer to this question, which is what most Rishonim give, is as follows. For example, the Ran says, a libo doesn't mean libo. Libo just means that unlike Kriya Shema, where there's a mitzvah to hear yourself speaking, so when you say Shema, you should try to say Shema not in a way that disturbs anyone around you. You don't have to scream it. You don't have to be the loudest person around. You just say, because the Torah uses the word Shema. Anyone know the Lashon of the Drasha in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel? Shema? Hashma? Very good, Josh. So you should like talk to yourself. It's a fascinating concept that you're talking to yourself, not just saying it under your breath. When it comes to chametz, you don't have to say kol chamir v'chamia. You have to actually conjugate it, but not in an audible fashion. So everyone look at me. You know how you can say bittul according to the Ram, what the Mishnah means, as opposed to kol chamir v'chamia, which of course we say it that way, but you can also go, you have to cut the words. You can't just think the words. You can't just keep it in your heart. You have to conjugate them with your tongue, but the conjugation doesn't have to be audible. So the Mishnah says, Mevatlo Belibo is not saying you can think it because it's Hefker. Possibly you're going to tell us it's in Hefker, but at least you conjugate it. Ramban has a different, the Maram Chalava is a different shot since we're looking at Maram Chalava. Again, 14th century Spain. Okay, it's the first piece on the top of the page. Okay, he talked about something a little bit different. Another kasha of this category that the Ramban asks of Ketosis is, normally Hefker has to be with Neshlosha, because it's a Maisa Bezin, you need three people. Right? When's the time that we're Mafker things? You probably don't know. In Eretz Yisrael, every 7 years we have to be Mafker Shvias. It's called Bir Shvias. In the Pesach of the 8th year, any Shemitah produce you still have, you can't own more than a little bit amount to eat. Okay, now obviously in our world, you're not going to have wheat or fruit a year and a half after Shemitah or 8 months after Shemitah has been over. But what it does apply to is very often they'll sell Shemitah wine and grape juice very cheaply because you're not allowed to make profit off of Shemitah. So they'll sell what's called Otzer Beis Din wine and grape juice. So it'll be Shemitah wine and grape juice. That's Kedusha Shvi'ah, so you can't ruin it. And let's say a couple of weeks after Shemitah's over, they'll process and harvest all the grapes, and you'll see there'll be signs up. I don't know when the next Shemitah is, 3 years from now. There'll be signs, 4 years from now, the lost track. There'll be signs up, come buy Shemitah grape juice, Shemitah wine, which A, is a little cheaper, but also it's nice to have Shemitah wine to do a kind of mitzvah. But then a couple of months later it's Pesach, so you've got large volumes of Shemitah produce in your house, right? You're not going to have fruits and vegetables because they're going to spoil, but you have large produce. So what you have to do is you have to take all of your wine outside and be mafgir at Bifnei Shlosha, and then you can take it back into your house because then you're Zocha from Hefker. When you're Zocha from Hefker, there's no issue of having it later. So what you do is Erev Pesach, you gather some friends, and there's one guy, we call him, he's a big Talmud Chacham, but we call him the Shemitah thief because he always prowls around Erev Pesach and he attends all these Hefkers and he grabs a bottle just to make sure that your Hefker was serious. So he'll come as part of the basin, you'll be mafker your wine, and say thank you, and I'll take a bottle just to make sure. There's always, we call them the Shemitah thieves. They're always on the prowl for Shemitah, looking to take everyone's fruit. Like, I don't go into people's land on Shemitah to take their fruit. I can, right? Minotaur, I can, but like, it's not right. I'm going to go into you. But this guy says, I'm making sure you're keeping Shemitah the right way. I'm going to go in your backyard and take your fruit. I'm going to show up at the Erev Pesach Shemitah Hefker ceremony, and I'll make sure your Hefker was really, really privileged by Shavin, and I'll take it from you. Okay, so that's when we perform Hefker. According to Tosfos, Bittul is a form of Hefker also, and you need three. So the Ravan says, why don't you have three? So the Maram Chalava says, well, you know what? He says, Leidach Kushya, the last Maram Chalava, the boy Hefker, Bifnei Shlosha, Hikamandiyamar, Tamad Mimidi Yisira, Lo Bai Shlosha. You only need three for Mamanus, you don't need three for Yisirim, since it's just this, so you don't need Shlosha, which is fascinating about the role of Basin. Anyway, that's the second type of question the Ramban asks on Tosfos. The first type of question is, how could you say Hefker, Bittul is Hefker? It doesn't sound like Hefker, it sounds like something new. Second type of question, the mechanism for executing Bittul is different from the mechanism for executing Hefker, making it sound like it's not really. What are the differences? You can't do Hefker on Shabbos. We didn't talk about that much. Number two is Hefker needs articulation. For the Mishnah, it sounds like you can do Vata Belibo. Number three, Hefker needs a basin of Shlosha. Sounds like you can do Bittul by yourself in your house. The third type of question, and this to me is the most fascinating and the most lamdasha question, Ravan says, would Hefker actually work for Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh? That to me is the most lamdasha question. Let's assume the Ramban says that Bittul is Hefker. If a person, let's say, wakes up in the morning, Erev Pesach, and says, you know what? I'm my own person. I'm not going to do Bittul. I'm going to do Hefker. Forget what Bittul is. I pass in Bittul this, that, and the other. I'll just be Mafker Mechametz. Would that be a way to circumvent Bal Yirah Bal Yimaseh? This is where the Ramban gets really interesting. And his start, and I just gave you the start, just to give you a little bit of a taste, is that when it comes to Hefker, the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Memches quotes a machlokes between two shitas, Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, whether Hefker is chal the moment you're mafgirit and you dispossess ownership, or Hefker is only chal when someone takes it. So let's say a person will be mafgir phone. According to the Chachamim, the second year mafgir, as we paskin, the second year mafgir, you're given up ownership, whether someone takes it or not. That's to be seen. In theory, you could have something which is ownerless. What Rabbi Yossi says is called Hefker Rabbi Yossi, which is a big, big issue for Nidarim. That's why it comes up in Maseches Nidarim. Let's say I were to say, Gabi, you can't have any hana for my food, but I want you to eat my food because you're starving and I'm the only proprietor in town. So can I use Hefker as an end-around for Nidarim? I'll be mafgir the fruit, and then you take it. So according to the Chum, of course I can. I'm mafgir the food. It's not my food. And when you pick it up, you eat it. You're not getting hana from me. You're not violating the neder. If you're passing like a Bielsi, then it complicates this solution. Because my Hefker is only chal when Gavi is koned. And therefore, Gavi is being koned directly from me, which complicates neder. So Bielsi creates neder complications. The Gemara tries to work around it in Nidarim. But the Ramban says, according to Bielsi, Hefker isn't chal until someone picks it up. Problem is, in Chametz, no one's going to pick it up because Asur Banan, you can't be Konet. That means that Hefker, at least according to Bielsi, wouldn't be a solution for Pesach, yet the Gemara presents Bittel seemingly independent of the Machlokas Chachamim and Bielsi. Sounds like Bittel should operate outside of whatever constraints Hefker does or doesn't impose. That's Tosfos, that's the Ramban's Kash. Let's read it together. It's back on the top, that first Ramban. The Ramban says, V'o, the second paragraph, Kashali, Shabittel, Davar Pashadu, Bigamar, Belo Machlokas. Midiraisa bitl beyamasagila veilu behefker itmar binadar perakim bein amudar. It's actually mem gimel to the yosi hefker kematana ma matana adasi l'shus makabel or nafkim reshus nosein af hefker adasi l'shus zoche lo nafkim reshus mafkir. And therefore hefker shouldn't be effective. The Ramban continues, and this is where it gets super lumbus. And even according to the Rabbanan, that hefker can be chal before Hillel picks it up. Would Hefker be sufficient to solve by Rabbi Yamaseh? Because even though I'm mafkir something, I still have the ability to reacquire it. If I have the ability to reacquire it, I'm the only one who knows this Hefker, that may create an association between me and the Chametz, which would still be in violation of legal ownership. We'll see this a little bit later in the Ramban. I'll refer back to this Ramban. Those are the three types of questions the Ramban asks on Tosfos. Question number one, language. Question number two, mechanism and execution. Question number three, if Bittel is Hefker, would Hefker be sufficient to actually solve by Rabbi Yamaseh, or Hefker would be inadequate to solve by Rabbi Yamaseh? Okay, like I said, it's a long Ramban. It goes through all these, the seven or eight questions I've just given you, three different categories. Okay? We're now going to hold the Ramban off for a little bit. We'll get back to the Ramban. Let's see how Rashi interprets Bittel, and how the Rambam interprets Bittel, and let's see what that means. We'll see one or two kashas that Tosfos has against Rashi. Then we'll conclude by getting to the famous Shita of the Ramban. Okay, if you open up the Gemara, Rashi says in two places on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph and Dalet Amud Beis that Hefker. Anyone know? Anyone see Rashi? Famous Rashi. How does Hefker operate? How does Hefker solve by Rabbi Yamaseh? Mashvile Afra. You're not dispossessing ownership. You still own it, but you're redefining this cookie, this donut, this pizza as Afra. The two cases where Rashi quotes it is number one, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, line number five, fifth wide line, Im Yisich, the Sagila Bebitl Bialma, Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschel Chovas Adar, the Sagila Bebitl Bialma, Im Yisich Daito Minei, Umashvi Le Ke'afara. And you turn the Chametz into dust. You only over in Chametz, not on dust. A little bit later, Rashi Dibra Maschel Bebitl Bialma, he doesn't use the word offer there, he talks about the source, we'll get to it later. The second Rishon who says that Chametz is, through Bittel, becomes Afar is, anyone see? The Rambam, Perek Beis, Chametz Imaza, Ezer Yesh Basa Amor Batara, Zerushe, what's the lesson of the Rambam, Perek Beis, Ezer Yesh Basa Amor Batara, She Yasin Belibo, She Ein Lo Chametz, She Shekho Chametz, She Eish Beshuso, Ke Afar Dami, anyone have the lesson of the Rambam, Hechaz Chametz Imaza, Perek Beis, anyone have a Rambam? Pull it up quickly, someone. Okay, you say, I want to read it to us. Ezohi hashbasa amur betara. Ho she. Anyone beat into the punch? Chametz Matza, Perek Beis. V'achshav oto ki'afar. Shekol Chametz. Ki'afar. So the Rambam says the word afar twice. She'achshav b'libo shekol chametz shebishuto ki'afar v'she'im b'tzar achla. Okay. There are millions of nafkaminos to Rashi and the Rambam Shita. As opposed to Tosfos, who says that you are withdrawing ownership and it's no longer yours. According to Rashi and the Rambam, you own it. You're just redefining it as Afar. Let's just see what Rashi feels is the source. We'll see, maybe the Ramban is not so happy with this. But on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Rashi says, how do you know that Bittel works? Remember, all the Rishonim, are looking for a source. What's the source for Bittel? Midiraisa Bittel Be'amasagi. So going to Tosfos, you don't really need a source because it's no longer Lachat. It's classic Hefker. Hefker doesn't need a source. We know that Hefker works. But going to Rashi, what's the source for this new halacha that you can turn into Afar? So Rashi says, source, Dalet Amud Beis, Bittel Be'alma, Dechsiv Tashbisu, Veloksiv Tivaru. Really fascinating Rashi. What's the real way to describe getting rid of chametz? Tivaru, tashchisu, totziu, whatever. Why does the Torah use a passive verb? Tashbisu, make it not exist. So the Torah, everyone look at me, is winking his eyes. There is a way to make chametz not exist in a more passive way without burning it. Nirchsiv tashbisu, veloksiv tivaru, there is a way to be mashbis chametz. And then Rashi adds, Vashbasa delev, hi ashbasa. Again, reminding us that it's enough to have it internally, ashbasa delev. As the Rambam says, Yishai, v'yasim belibo, she'en l'chametz kov, she'en l'chametz k'zareya kafer be'alma. Now, what Rashi doesn't tell us is, okay, I know Tashbisu is not Tivaru, but has it tell us that he can turn something into Afar? That the Ramban's going to try to take him to task. And you'll see the brilliance of the Ramban in trying to defend Rashi. But Rashi is noting the fact that the Torah doesn't use a physical, a word that demonstrates physical destruction. He uses a word, Lahashbis, to make something stop. Okay, how do you make something stop? By turning into Afar. Okay, what's the big nafkamina? Okay, who went to Hask this summer? Who went to Hask? Okay. Who went to I.O. this summer? Okay, it's a nice Hask I.O. story. A long time ago, 2005, I think, I was the rabbi in Hask. And I was visited by my Rebbe, who I miss very, very dearly, and unfortunately died at a very early age, Rav Tabari. Some of you know Rav Tabari from Eretz Tzvi. His father was a big Talmid Chacham, a very important part of our yeshiva. So he was in I.O. that year as head of the Beis Medrash. So he came to Hask to visit me. So we were sitting on the back porch, and we're talking and schmoozing. I said, Rebbe, you know, what are you teaching this year in I.O.? He said, he's teaching Pesachim. I said, oh, the Michtam. The Michtam started smiling. The Michtam was an Italian Rishon. We don't have too many of his Chidishim. We have it on Pesachim. We don't have it in Bava Kama. The Michtam quotes a Shita. He rejects it. That says, another way to trick your uncle is a big Talmid Chacham, even if he passes the first test. Ask him, how can you eat Chametz on Pesach? What do you mean, how could you eat Chametz on Pesach? You were in Gush a whole year. You don't even know that Chametz is Aser and Pesach. I want a refund. The Michtam says, he rejects it, that after Bittul you can eat Chametz. Does that Shita, the Michtam rejects it, but his rejection isn't fundamental, it's technical. Does this Shita accept Tosus's view of Bittul or Rashi's view of Bittul? The answer? According to Tosfos, the chametz is still chametz, just circumvented by Rabbi Matzah, but it's still chametz. Chametz asher b'achila. According to Rashi, you turned it into afar. You turned it into afar. Eat the chametz. Wow. So if you're a real Talmid Chacham, you know this mechta. Rav Tavori started laughing. Yeah, the mechta. Like, yeah, I remember his laugh. You get a lot of hanada. So she's teaching the mechta. Now, why would you reject the Michtam, and the Michtam rejects it even though you hold like Rashi? What would you say, Avi? Right. Right, because when you pick it up to eat, what are you doing? You are de-afarizing it. You're turning it back to Ocha. So when you say it's like Afar, okay, saying it's like Afar, but when you pick it up to eat, you're un-offering it. You're unearthing it. That's what the Michtam says. This whole conversation is only a Rashi conversation. It's not a Tosis conversation. And again, just to put everything into perspective, that's why our Bittul has the dual language. Kol chamir v'chamidik v'shusich, liftil v'leve, hefker, kefadara. So we try to create a hybrid between Tosfos and Rashi. We don't really, we'll see how the Ramban uses the word afar in a minute. Yes, Azariah.
What if, like, you didn't pick it up?
Yeah, well, that's a famous nafkamina. Some of us said, you have to make it violet because it's afar and you're not machshavit. Correct. Okay, what's the problem with Rashi? Everyone listen to the methodology. The problem with Rashi is he's creating something new because he doesn't want to say it's hefker. He doesn't want to say it's an old derivation of hefker. Problem is, how does this new thing work? How do I just simply redefine something subjectively? If you call in 10 people off of the street, what are you looking at? I'm looking at delicious pizza, donut, sandwich, challah, but I consider it afar. Woohoo, you consider it afar. What do you have the right? It's a dual question. Which pasuk in the Torah tells you that? Tashbisu? I know what tashbisu isn't. It's not tivaru. It's something not. But how do I get from not burning chametz to turning into afar? How does that work? And forget the pasuk for a moment. What's the mechanism of it? So let me show you three rishonim who all try to create something akin to what Rashi was saying. And we'll go in order of relevancy. We'll see one Rishon who is trying to create an association with a thing that's only marginally relevant. See another Rishon who says it's even more relevant, and then a Ritva, I think, is saying something even more internal to Chametz. Anyone ever learn Sukkah? First parak in Sukkah? Okay, first parak in Sukkah. What if you have a Sukkah whose Schach is too high? So what do you do? Just think logically. Either lower the Schach or you raise the floor. Okay, so one way to raise the floor is just to raise the floor. But what if you don't have enough time for a construction project and you just take some items and put it on the floor, and that will be your new floor? So if you take Kash V'Teven, you could be Mevatel, the Kash V'Teven. The Gemara says, if you're Mevatel, the Kash V'Teven, you say, you want the Kash, if you just throw Kash V'Teven in, and you may take it out on Yantav, that's not the floor, you're just throwing some Kash V'Teven onto the ground. But if you say, I want this Kash V'Teven to be part of the floor, I can turn Kash V'Teven, or in some cases, even Karim V'Chsasos, I can turn sheets and pillows into the floor, and then I'm standing on this heightened floor, which is less than 20 amos in the Schach. So the Maharik, anyone remember who the Maharik was? Rav Yosef Kolon, okay, 15th century, I mean, originally French, but he ended up moving over to Italy. Okay, 15th century Italy is a very interesting happening place. A lot of Spanish Jews are moving through Italy. Remember, Rome is always a very different place for Jews. Rome is in the country, it's papal cities, Venice is an empire, Naples is an empire. Jews are accepted, it's right near the Pope, it's an interesting place. It's not one Jewish community. Anyone ever been to the shul in Rome? Anyone visit Rome? It's a shul of four shuls, because there's always four or five communities that were jointly there in Rome. There's a Sephardi community, Ashkenazi community, a Turkish community, a Romanite community. There's always a lot of things happening in Rome. So he lives in, not Rome, he lives in Italy. Most of the Jews didn't really live in Rome. They lived in places of northern Italy. So the Maharik on your, I didn't give you the Makarashi. Sheet. The Maharik says that being Mevatel Chametz, like Rashi, is akin to being Mevatel Kash V'Teven in the Gemara and Sukkah, Daf Dalar Medal. Just like you can turn Kash V'Teven into ground, you can turn Chametz into ground, into dust. Can anyone tell me the difference? Why you disagree with the Maharik? What's the difference between taking Kash and Teven and making it ground and thereby creating a heightened floor and without a too high schach, and what Rashi is describing? Azaria?
Actually treating the Kash V'Teven like the ground.
Right. There's a context. It's physical. You're putting the Kash V'Teven on the ground, as opposed to Chametz, where it's on your kitchen table. You're just trying to subjectively, virtual redefinition. Sitting on my table, it's on a plate, everyone's sitting there and eating it, and you know, my non-Jewish friends, and I'm saying, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, it's afar. There's a separate issue, as I would even work for food by Sukkah. Not only is there a physical anchoring, but also you're talking about items that aren't really food stuff. So it's easier to turn Kash V'Teven into ground, even Karim V'Chsasos, which are non-edible items, than to turn actual food. Okay, I'll just read you the lesson of the Maharik, just to see how Rishonim, I don't even think he quotes Rashi, but how Rishonim was trying to think in these terms to solve the problem of Bittel. One second, Abi, the Maharik says, oh, it's on your system, right? Avu divrei ben shlomi derivu. Remind me, he quotes Rashi in the Rambam. The custom in midiraisa bita be amasagila is number two. Hayo mitashbisa lo kasha klau. The two ainu mitam hefker ela shasu ke afra bialma. Some makara sheets from yesterday. Kidemashma lashen hashbasa tavi dumya dahi de teven ubitlo perakam de sukkah. He talks about a chalon. Anyone know what a chalon is? You remind the chalon. Nerevin. It's like real lumbas. You're comparing different areas of halacha. If you have two chatzeros, and there's a window between the chatzeros, and the access point from one chatzer to another is considered like one chatzer or two chatzers for erev chatzeros. So if you want to make them two chatzeros, then you have to diminish the passageway between the chatzeros to call memait the chalon. So you put some kash v'teven into a chalon that allows passageway, you make the window, not really a window, but like a little tunnel way between the two chatzeros, if you make it impassable because you put Kash V'Teven there, so you don't have to actually put stone there and build cement, you just put Kash V'Teven in Mevata. Okay, it's not that much different than Sukkah. Okay, Avi, you had a question?
You said according to Rambam, who says like it's just in those cloud, like that's why it's making it similar to Afar, it's like...
Yeah, I understand, but where do we see any reference to that? You have to have a reference point in Shas. Maybe you say, no, that's a Taras Chedesh, but all these Rishonim that I'm quoting, they're going to try to find, oh, this is similar to... But maybe they're different. You'll see. They're not as similar as we think. A more direct association between Bittel and something else comes from the Gemara Daf Mem Hayamid Beis, as interpreted by a French Rishon of the 12th century. V'niyonasin of Munil. So let's see the Gemara Memhei on the base. Okay? Here the Gemara's context is, let's say you have something which is marginally food and marginally furniture. Now for us, it's hard to imagine. You wouldn't sit on chalin, you wouldn't. But in those days, they had large blocks of yeast that were hardened. And those large blocks of yeast could have been, you know, purposed for food or purposed just to sit on because it wouldn't have corroded. So let's say you have, the Gemara says, kufas se'or. You have a big block of yeast or something like that, she'yichado li'yeshiva. And you said, I'm going to use this as a mat to sit on rather than to eat. That's going to impact the tumah halachas because the halachas of tumah for kelim are different from the halachas of tumah for ochel. So you have something which is a marginal item, it could be food, or it could be a furniture, and your thought process will define it in a subjective way. So it could be that Alicia would see this as food, but since I own the block and I've decided it's a couch, therefore I feel that it's considered a couch. Let's see the Gemara again, just to see the Gemara. B'med divar mamurim, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, second skinny line. Okay, we're never see the whole brayso, the Tanya. Hapas she'ipsha. This is talking about moldy bread. Remember, there we throw moldy bread out, but they kept their moldy bread. It wasn't dangerous. They took the mold off, hard bread, and they used it for all purposes. Hapasha ipsha chayiv levayer. Why? And they shiroi l'shochaka v'lechameh bakam isos acheres. Even though the bread itself is not edible, everyone knows how do you make sourdough bread? You take sour bread. You let bread, we make it in different ways today. But the original way to make sourdough bread was to let bread get hard and rotten and a little bit moldy, and to use some of that mold to create the fermentation of the sour bread. I'm not a bucky on this, but you can look it up. But you use sour bread. So the bread right now you're not going to really eat, but the Tanakhama says you're chayv to mevare the chametz because you can then use this bread as seor to leaven other sour breads. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, b'med divar mamurim b'mekuyem es l'achila. If this big bread, block of stale bread, you're going to use it for use. You've already purposed it for that. You've designated for this. Line number, first wide line. This is the key line. Avol kufas se'or, a piece of se'or, she'yichado li'yeshiva, and you've designated it to sit on rather than for food, b'tela. Look at that word, b'tela. It's no longer food, and it's no bayra bayamaseh. You see that? My personal definitions can affect whether something is food or a chair, and whether it's food or a chair will have ramifications for Tumas, we know, and have ramifications for Bayi Rabbi Yamasi. And for me, it's a chair. Since it's a chair, I don't have to burn it. I don't have to get rid of it. It's no Bayi Rabbi Yamasi. Ben Yonah said, I call into that. That's a bittul. Bittul Chametz is exactly what Shimon ben Elazar is saying. Let's read it together. I gave it to you on the sheet. And Yonason says, "Kol chamira de brishusi de lo yadana lehaster the chamita hasher the vechashiv kafra kolomar shemivatlo mitaras ochel agamri v'shuvlo nikra chametz havi kimo shetach paneh b'tit." According to Gemara later, it's not enough to just subjectively redefine. You have to put some cement on that piece of seor to show that it's a furniture. Damrina lekaman kifas seor sheyichado liyeshiva b'teila. So the Rabbeinu Yonasan associates our bitul chametz from the above with this solution on daf mem hamid base. Again, finding some precedent, Benji, for your ability to redefine something in your own way. Just like I can redefine the block of seor, I can redefine the chametz. What's the problem, Azaria? Anyone else? Why is it easier to do the redefinition on mem hay but not to do the redefinition of chametz?
No, Azaria is suffix, and you're doing an action.
Right. Very good. You sharpen the word suffix. You don't really mean the word suffix. You mean?
It's like on the border.
Marginal. Very good. It's on the margin between food and furniture. You can tip the scale in either direction. But by bitul chametz, you have something which is not marginally food. It is food. It's tasty. It's regular food. Can you take something which is not marginally food and actually convert it into afar? That's a bigger chiddush. The third approach to solving this afar is that we don't really mean afar. When Rashi said afar, he didn't mean you're turning it into dust. And let's try to find other areas in Shas Yishai where I can turn things into dust. Because we really don't have any areas. You can turn Kashrut Tevin into dust by putting it in the dust. You can turn Kufas or Sheikhda Lishiv into dust because it's marginally food or marginally furniture. You can turn it into furniture. A different way to say it is that when Rashi says afar, Rashi may mean you're just being mevatel the chashivos of the food. You're trying to say this food isn't chashiv to me. It's not dust, it's just something that I don't take significantly and seriously. Okay, big chiddush. This is the biggest chiddush of the day. I have to tell you, I haven't really seen this in too many achronim, but I think it's true. So I'm opening up a whole new pathway to think. Is chametz chemical or is it experiential? Is chametz anything that's chemically leavened into chametz? Or is chametz bread as the center staple of your meal? What if I have something which is leavened and it's regular, but it's not really chashivas of lechem? Can Bittel be saying, well, chemically this isn't dafar, chemically this is bread, and I can't turn something which is objectively bread into subjectively afar. But I don't treat this as lechem. I'm being mevatel. It's like, I'm not important to me. I found the following lashon in the Ritva. Tell me if you think he may be saying it. It may be an overreach. Look at your sources. If you have it, it's the last page. When he defines bittel, he says, v'yesh shepirshu deha delo avar alel li'achar bittel. You know why you don't violate by your Rabbi Matzah after bittel? Mishum desu leka alayu taras lechem. Hear that language? He didn't say leka alayu taras ochel. He said leka alayu taras lechem. Lechem is not just food. Lechem is the center food, the important food in the meal. Could this be a different way to solve Rashi? Could this be a way to say that according to Rashi, you're not defining something as afar, you can't. You're just demoting it and degrading it from lechem. As far as I'm concerned, this is still bread in our jargon, it's still chametz, but it's not my important. Whenever I have bread, that becomes, as brachos indicate, that becomes the centerpiece of my meal. Their meals were focused around lechem. But not lechem, you don't have a meal. That's why you don't bench. So I'm saying this to me is not a meal. This to me is not the centerpiece. It's some food, it by a lot, not by a lot. Chemically, it's leaven. Chemically, it's chametz. Is chametz just chemical? Or is chametz also some status that the item has? Hashem doesn't want us to eat our meals around chametz bread. If, to me, this is no longer a lechem, because I've said in my mind it's afar. Can it be a different solution for what Rashi meant? It could be, and therefore you skirt the issues that the Beni Yonasan is trying to deal with, that the Merrick is dealing with. Let me repeat the issue again, Zaire, then I'll answer your question. The problem with Rashi is twofold. I mean, there are many, many problems with Rashi. Problem number one is, what's the source? Okay, the Torah doesn't write to Taviru, but how does Tashbisu teach you that you can make something afar? Had the Torah Hillel written to Afru and turn it into afar? Oh, the Torah would be empowering me to turn something into afar. The Torah didn't write to Afru. It said Tashbisu. We know what it is, and we just don't know what it is. How does Rashi make the leap from the word Tashbisu to my ability to turn something into afar? The second problem in Rashi is, how does it work? Forget the pasuk. Let's say we don't need pasuk. How does it work? Where do we see that you can take something which is objectively food and redefine it as afar? We have kash v'teven, but that you're physically attaching to the ground. We have kufa sa'or, but that's marginal. Here you're taking a tasty piece of food, you're turning it into afar. How does that really operate? Because of these questions, and because of his unwillingness to learn like Tosfos, we'll see the Ramban. You'll see the Ramban is just amazing. I don't know, I have enough time to go through all the nooks and crannies of the Ramban, but you'll just see, yes, this is how you learn a sikya. Yes, Azaria.
This approach lines up the best with being able to eat the chametz after your...
For sure,
Right.
Like,
there's no experience.
Correct, correct.
Then why would you think that you can't eat it after, even if you remember about the experiential component?
No. Oh, because you're unauthorizing it. Second, you're machshav it. You turn it back into lechem, you turn it back into ochel. Second, you pick it up, you're showing that it's important to you.
But it's not about being awful,
but
being awful.
Okay, but you're showing you're undoing your dissing. You had dissed it, you had dismissed it, and now you're undoing it.
What if you don't eat it as like the center part of the meal?
That was the same question you said before. Can I find a space between eating it which's not undoing my previous skirt? Okay, what you're picking up is also Zaya, one of the interesting differences. See, they're just really dark. One of the interesting differences between Tosfos and Rashi is, can you undo bittel? According to Tosfos, you can't, because it's happening. According to Rashi, there's room to undo the bittel, and that's a big question in Rishon. Can you be mevatel your bittel? Okay. What do I like about this Ramban? Ramban says, guys, I can't understand. Guys, Talmidim, I can't understand bittel. See if you can fill in the blanks. Until I understand, can anyone leap up one level? Come on. Ramban is a parking lot attendant, like I am. He's always moving up a level in the parking lot. Go up a level. I really want to understand bittel. What do I have to understand? Close. By Rabbi Matzah. Because bittel is a solution to by Rabbi Matzah. It's kryptonite, right? Everything is understood but what it comes to solve or what it comes to break. It's like so beautiful. Yes. That's brisk. You can't understand bittul until you understand bai rabbi matzeh. Well, what's so difficult about bai rabbi matzeh? Well, let me tell you the Ramban says. Okay? And it's a Gemara. This is our Bava Kama Psachim connection. Maybe think about this year. There are two halachic enigmas that Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, depending on who said it, equated. There are two halachic enigmas that you don't own in classic ownership, and yet you treat it as if you own it. What are they? Shnei divarim eda b'shusa shel adam v'yasa nakasav kila b'shusa. What are they? I'm going to tell Rav Kev, you don't get it. Let's first start with bar, because we like, and we know bar. You can't own a bar, A, because it's in b'shusa rabin, B, because it's a whole, and yet you're treated as if you own it, you have liability. You can't own chametz. Why can't you own chametz? I said, no. With that utility, there's no ownership. And yet you violate by Rabbi Matzah. You treat it like an owner. Said differently, the Isra by Rabbi Matzah and the Isra Anah of chametz are logically inconsistent. Once there's an Isra Anah, you can't own it. If you can't own it, it has to be by Rabbi Matzah. There's an internal break in the system. The system is an internal crash. If you can't get a no, you can't own it. If you can't own it, by Rabbi Matzah, just circles and circles and circles. So, you all know the famous Gemara, Asana Kasav Ki'ilu Brishusa. So, what are the two ways to read that? One way is that the Torah creates a new track of Bailus. These two items don't conform to the normal standards of Bailus. The Torah creates a new track of Bailus. Too bad, Gavi, you own the bar. Bala bar yishali. And you're chayv to pay. Too bad, Henry, you own the chametz and you're by Rabbi Matzah. Or, asana kasav kilu, it's a soft kilu. Not that you really own it, but even though, finish the sentence. You don't own the bar, you're still liable. Iske kriya psicha, yitzira samazik. I'm sure you've been discussing a little bit of that the last couple of weeks. And the same thing by Rabbi Matzah. Even though you don't really own the chametz, because you can't own the chametz, you still violate by Rabbi Matzah because of, here's the key word, listen carefully to get this word. I'm giving you a whole shir now. By Rabbi Matzah isn't based on ownership, it's based on association. You don't own it, but you associate it with the chametz. That's what the Ramban says. Oren, you don't own chametz. Now listen carefully. If you own chametz, bittul will not help you. I'm saying this in colorful terminology. Bittul is a joke. If you own chametz, you don't have bittul. Bittul only works because Bali Rabbi Yamatzeh is a newfangled iser. You don't own the chametz. You're halfway home. You don't own the chametz. The Torah said, even though you don't own the chametz, you're chayav by Rabbi Matzah. Here's the key word. We'll read it together. A classic Ramban, daito eluye, because you still are thinking about the chametz, even though you don't own it, because it's your chametz. Bittul means no longer daito eluye. I'm no longer interested in it. I am severing that final cord by which I'm connected to the chametz, for which I'm chayav by Rabbi Matzah. It's such a beautiful, logically, it's stunning. Bittul doesn't make sense. It only makes sense because it's addressing a weakened Isser. It's addressing an Isser that's already been diminished, weakened, diluted because of the Isser Hana. Everyone see that? Rashi and Tosfos didn't think that. It's amazing. Rashi and Tosfos assume you own the Chametz Hadisavi. Tosfos certainly. You own Chametz Hadisavi, you disown it. Hefker. I don't know what Rashi thought about Bai Rabbi Matzah. It's an interesting question. You get to the Sigur Bai Rabbi Matzah, but in theory, you can own chametz, but you turn it off. Ramban says, bittul only works because Bai Rabbi Matzah is very, 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 very loose. Let's read the Ramban's, read the Rabbeinu David, and then we'll end just to see the beauty of the Ramban. Okay, we're not going to go through the whole Ramban, but let's just go to the piece I gave you. Okay? So Ramban says, which piece are you reading here? Yeah, it's on the Makar sheet that I gave you. It's such a beautiful Ramban. Let's read it. Alekach ani omer. It's source number 5. Okay, did I bring the sheets in for you? I think I left it in my desk. Okay, it's on the WhatsApp. Alekach ani omer. Shabitul Moel 5. Lohotzio mitaras chametz. Back of the first page. V'lachshivo ka'afar. So he says afar, but you'll see why he says afar later. V'heter zeh midivrei Rabbi Shmuel. Gabriel, back of this page. Heter zeh midivrei Rabbi Shmuel. the double page from yesterday. This comes from Rabbi Yishmael. The Amar Shnei Devarim Eino B'Shusa Shaladam. The Asana Kasav Kilu B'Shusa. Okay, I'm skipping some lines. Since it's Isra'na, line number 4, Eino Mamon. Chametz is not yours. Line number 4, Bedinhu Shalo Yavar Lav B'Klom. You shouldn't be over by Rabbi Yamatzeh at all before Bethel because you don't own it. Ela Shatara Asa Kilu B'Shusa. The Torah made it Kilu B'Shusa. Lavar Lav B'Shnei Lavim. Here is the key line. Why you violate by Rabbi Matzah if it's something you don't own? Here it is. Shadaito Alav, who wrote it b'kiyumo. You don't own it, but by Rabbi Matzah isn't based on ownership. It's based on care, association, mental investment, emotional attachment, affiliation. There are five ways to say this. When you learn by Rabbi Matzah, that becomes a big scavenger hunt. What is this association that creates by Rabbi Matzah? Care, interest, concern, capacity to be kona. And now the Ramban is defining Bittel Lefikach. Zeh Sheskima Daita L'das Torah. He's saying, I want to go like the Torah. V'yotza Levadlo Sheloi B'din Mamon Ela Sheyeh Motzi Meshusa L'gamri Shuv Eino Over Alav. V'hacha Adif Nami Mehefker. It's more than Hefker. Last line in the Ramban. Da'ashave Ke'afar V'lo Nichale Begave. Okay, now listen carefully. A lot of people get this wrong. The Ramban mentions the word Afar twice. Like Rashi, he doesn't mean you're turning it into afar. He says, you know how I show that I don't care about the chametz anymore? What's my way of showing it? By saying that it is. What word do I use? Three-letter word begins with ayin, into the far afar. I use the word afar, but not to make it into afar, because how the heck do I make something into afar? I use the word afar to say I don't care about it. How do you call something you don't care? It's like dirt to me. You're dead to me. By saying it's afar, you're breaking the nichalei. The nichalei is what you violate because you don't really own it. By saying it's afar, you break the nichalei. I promise you, Rabbeinu David, let's see Rabbeinu David and what this will end. You'll see how much clearer the language is of Rabbeinu David. The piece right afterwards. Habitel hu shelo yei daito al hachametz. V'tam habitel, v'bnei shachametz me'elaf hu yotze mirshusa m'bnei ha-pesach shei asur bana. V'chol shu asur bana eno shelo. V'lo karina be'elacha. Over Allah, Eino Elachidish, Kidrabi Shema, right? You feel like you're reading Reb Chaim. This is like, close your eyes and make believe you don't know who's writing. This is Mamish Reb Chaim. Okay, I'll read it again. I'm reading Reb Chaim. His name happens to be David. He lived in France in the 12th century, 13th century, but it's literally Reb Chaim. He's writing clear, categorical. Again, he says, how does it work? Das Rishonim, Tam Adavar, Meshachameit, Me'ela for Yotzim Rishusim, Me'a Pesach Shiasur Bano. There's no Bailos. So if it's not yours, why do you violate Bayera if you're not mevatel it? Sha'over alav ain't ala chiddush. Kidu bishmal she'ena b'shusa shel adam. Nasa nakas of kila b'shusa. Kwas re bishmal. Vada me'acha she'ena b'shusa ain't over. Elam neisha daito alav. You don't own it, but daito alav. Imke. It's a mamashim chayim. It's like right like a 19th century Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva. Imke. Calls man sheyomar shein daito alav v'shlo nishalo alav shum chiyav. As long as you say ein daito alav, you avoid it. Shekol sheino b'shuso ein lo esek bo klal. The second to last line of the paragraph, and here Ari, just to reinforce what I said before, second line of the next paragraph, v'habitalu shemisalek daito mimenu sheheke afar. Afar is my terminology for silik das. Now, the part that I won't talk about in the Ramban is, now that we have this new concept that you disengage interest, you're not disavowing ownership, that's Tosus Hefker. You're not redefining as Afar, that's Rashi's Abracadabra. You're disengaging interest. Number one, which Pasuk does that come from? Which word teaches us that? Which word in the Torah may show removing interest? Removing involvement. Maybe Tashbisu. Where do you see that Tashbisu means removing interest? Removing your involvement. Well, one way is to play kryptonite. When the Torah says lo Tashbis, it means you keep interest, you keep involvement. What does the Torah say, lo Tashbis? Melech. Don't remove melech from the carbon. Lo tashbis melech. So tashbis means remove. What do we call tomorrow? Shabbos, because we're removing ourselves from an engagement. You move away from something. I just can't tell you, brothers or pious. Just take an hour. Every word is gold. Then he has a different pasuk from the Sifri. And then Ramban says, you know what? Maybe there are other things in Shas that function similarly to Bitul Chametz, where you remove interest and that's sufficient. Hear what I just said? Why would removing interest mean anything? Normally, halacha isn't about you. It's about objective definitions of halal shames. But can I find areas in halacha where your interests invest something with an identity, and when you pull out interest, that identity is emasculated? Can anyone think of another area that bittul means removing my interest and therefore the halachic status changes? Come on, come on. If I remove my interest in basa b'chalav, it's still basa b'chalav. If I remove my interest in the mevela, it's still mevela. But where is my interest necessary? Avodah Zarah! My mind is in Avodah Zarah. It's not Avodah Zarah. Metal is in Avodah Zarah. It's because I invested with deification. If I remove my deification, it's only Avodah Zarah. Wow, wow, wow. I'm shaking. And now the Ramban says, maybe there are things in halacha that really aren't called bittul, but share the same mechanisms, reversing Rashi. Yeish, the Ramban says, is a form of removing interest. Because Yeish Hill is structurally similar to Chametz. I don't really own it anymore because it's not in my Rishus. I'm only holding on by a thread because I want to get it. I want to still chase it down. I don't own the Aveda once I can't control it anymore because I've lost it. I don't know where it is. If my item is in Aris Bivak Rishus, I know where it is. I still have bias. My item is rolling around just a robin without a simon, so I don't really have control over it. And the Yeish is, you know, I'm no longer going to go after it. Ah, now you can keep it, Benji. Well, you should still be a tzaddik and give it back from the Mishira Sedin, but it's just, it gets more and more brilliant as you go on. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Oh, yeah, that's how you lunch us. Do yourself a favor. Take an hour, read the Ramban and Sachim. Like giving you a landing, just it's amazing to see brisker learning in the 12th century of Spain. Literally, like every word here is gold. And those are the three ways to learn Bitul Chametz. And you can see the Ramban carving a space right in the middle. Tosfos, Hefker. Rashi, Afar. Ramban, it's not Hefker. Seven questions. Doesn't look like Hefker. Doesn't sound like Hefker. Doesn't operate like Hefker. It's not Afar. How does that work? It's a halacha in Bayera. It's a chiddush in Bayera. Again, you got to go up a level to understand how it solves it. Bittul solves which issue? It solves Bayera. So let's go back and think about the nature of the issue of Bayera, and then we'll understand how Bittul solves it. That's the way you abstract work. That's called induction and deduction, up and down, macro micro analysis. And the Ramban starts to use this as a paradigm for the areas in Shas. There's one famous kasha of the Ramban, but we're not going to talk about that. Okay. 5 minutes, I'll just give you a Dvar Musar for 5 minutes, although after the Ramban, you know.